More than 100 women and girls claim they were sexually assaulted by former MSU and USA Gymnastics doctor Larry Nassar. Complaints against the former MSU sports doctor range from the late 1990s up to 2016. He's now in federal custody on child pornography charges and 25 counts of first-degree criminal sexual conduct involving 10 women. He continues to deny the accusations. An investigation based on hundreds of pages of emails and records from Michigan State, published this week by the Washington Post, finds Nassar left warning signs that were missed or ignored by Michigan State officials. Will Hobson is the Washington Post national sports reporter. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Will, you reviewed hundreds of emails and documents that you got using a Freedom of Information Act from Michigan State University. Many were heavily redacted. And so just to be clear, this is not a complete picture. Saying that, what is it you found?
We found that while nationally a lot of the blame for Dr. Nassar and the abuse he's occurred of has been laid at the feet of the folks at USA Gymnastics, the Olympic officials, there's more evidence that suggests that folks at Michigan State had a chance to stop him earlier.
MSU President Luana Simon told the Board of Trustees this month they're trying to figure out, in her words, how something so abhorrent happened here and went on for so long. And you discovered some clues that could help answer her question. Your article points out MSU officials missed a number of opportunities to have stopped Dr. Nassar. Let's start with William Strampel, who's the dean of MSU's College of Osteopathic Medicine and his supervisor. According to your piece, Dean Strampel seemed to fail to grasp the seriousness of the situation. What made you conclude that?
There's an email from a colleague of Dean Strampel's in which one of the doctors who works alongside Dr. Nassar was asking in 2016, last September, how long Dr. Nassar was going to be out. And according to this was a secondhand email, but Dean Strampel told this colleague that he only expected to be a short period of time. And I think it's important to point out that, you know, we're still midstream here. There's still a lot of things we don't know. And the records we looked at are still heavily redacted because it's an active criminal investigation. And any reference to a 2014 complaint similar to the one that ended up getting Dr. Nassar fired and ultimately arrested last year, anything related to that has been redacted in these records.
But you were certainly able to put together a lot of information from the emails that you were able to see that were not redacted. I noted at one point Dean Strampel sent an email to Nassar, "Good luck, I'm on your side."
Right. And, you know, we weren't able to talk to Dean Strampel about this. But the emails from Dean Strampel in 2016, and just for your listeners, Dean Strampel would be Larry Nassar's boss at the College of Osteopathic Medicine at Michigan State. In 2016, he would have been aware that 2 years prior, a woman came forward and said, "This doctor sexually assaulted me during an exam." So it was interesting to see how the dean responded when another person came forward in 2016 with a very similar complaint about Dr. Nassar.
Well, you also wrote in your article that the university's public relations staff coached Dr. Nassar in how to handle a reporter's questions about his history of abuse. What did you find there?
Early September of last year, a reporter with the Indianapolis Star reached out to Dr. Nassar with a series of questions. And his boss asked for advice from Michigan State Legal Counsel and the Public Relations Department about how he should deal with this. The legal counsel, interestingly, said, "We have no advice for you. You're on your own on this one." The PR staff just gave him advice, said you can ignore these questions entirely. If you're going to answer, answer in writing and be sure to not blame the victims in any way.
I want to back up a little bit, kind of open up to the big picture, Will. Did you find in all of those hundreds of documents and emails that you looked through that anyone within the MSU hierarchy who suggested that the women's complaints should be looked at more closely?
No. But again, as I said, we're looking at an incomplete piece, and that's why it's going to be interesting to follow this case and to follow what happens at Michigan State, how the folks in charge were able to see all these records, were able to interview all these people and ask them, what did you know and when did you know it, to see how they respond. An equivalent example would be look at what happened with Penn State during the Jerry Sandusky scandal just 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They brought in independent investigators who were able to interview everybody, and they came to, you know, university conclusions about who was responsible and who knew what when. So it'll be interesting to see what Michigan State says and what their independent reviews find in the months as the case continues to progress.
Something that struck me in your piece, Will, was when you review the emails and what you learned about the communication between Michigan State University and USA Gymnastics, both key components of this entire story, but it sure seemed that they weren't talking to each other, were they?
Right. That has been really frustrating to the victims here, to the, again, alleged victims here, because Dr. Nasser still is pleading his innocence and hasn't been convicted yet. But in 2014, Michigan State investigated an allegation of assault against a doctor and found no wrongdoing, but they didn't let the folks at USA Gymnastics know about this. Now, in 2015, USA Gymnastics over in Indianapolis, they had a separate investigation, very similar complaint of assault. They cut ties with the doctor. They concluded that something bad had happened there. The USA Gymnastics folks say that they were told by the FBI not to inform anybody else. The FBI has yet to confirm that, and we'll see if they ever do. But the end result of that is that from late 2015 until 2016, Dr. Nasser continued to treat children. We think he continued to abuse children, and there are a number of cases that could have been prevented.
And it isn't exactly as if it was a secret to USA Gymnastics that he was affiliated with MSU because they funded his volunteer work with USA Gymnastics.
Right. And I should correct what I said there. We don't think he continued to abuse children. The plaintiff's lawyers contend he abused children, and victims contend he abused children. The tricky thing about this case from a journalism perspective is that while there are an overwhelming number of allegations of abuse, Dr. Nasser still is an innocent man who maintains that this is all a misunderstanding over his medical treatment, and he'll have his day in court.
Will, you covered the Jerry Sandusky scandal at Penn State. You alluded to it a moment or two ago. Are there any parallels that you are seeing here with the way MSU has handled the Dr. Nasser situation?
Well, it's interesting. A lot of the online readership and activity on our stories about Dr. Nasser from a national perspective are from Penn State folks who are upset with Luanna Simon, the president of Michigan State, because she was involved with the NCAA's punishments of Penn State in the aftermath of that case. They find it interesting that Luanna Simon, she made a comment to the Board of Trustees recently that she'd been told that something to the effect that she'd been told that some sexual pedophiles and predators are virtually impossible to stop, which is startlingly different rhetoric than she used with regard to the Jerry Sandusky case.
What new questions has all of the digging you've done so far, what new questions has that raised in your mind?
I mean, I don't know if there are any new questions. I'm sure folks in Michigan are well aware of this. It's just a matter of, like any investigation, determining who in charge of Dr. Nasser, who worked with Dr. Nasser, knew what and when. And we don't have conclusive answers yet, and it'll be a while until we do. But I think the point of our story from a national perspective was just, you know, here in D.C. and nationally, USA Gymnastics, the Olympic organization, has taken a lot of the blame for Dr. Nasser and the abuse he's accused of. But there are far more public signs so far, at least, that folks at Michigan State could have prevented it before folks at USA Gymnastics would have known.
Will Hobson, national sports reporter for The Washington Post. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
No problem. Thanks for having me.